After, I started to ask him if he'd like the story, a giggle rising in my throat, when Hassan began to clap. "What are you doing?" I said. "Well, that was the best story you've read me in a long time," he said, still clapping. I laughed. "Really? Really? That's fascinating," I muttered. "I meant it too. This was wholly unexpected. Are you sure, Hassan?" He was still clapping. "Oh, it was great, Amir Agha. Will you read me more of it tomorrow?" "Fascinating," I repeated, a little breathless, feeling like a man who discovers a buried treasure in his own backyard. Walking down a hill, thoughts were exploding in my head like fireworks at Chaman. "Best story you've read me in a long time," he'd said. I had read him a lot of stories. Hassan was asking me something. "What?" I said. "What does that mean? Fascinating." I laughed, clutched him in a hug and planted a kiss on his cheek. "What was that for?" he said, startled and blushing. I gave him a friendly shove, smiled. "You're a prince, Hassan. You're a prince, and I love you." That same night, I wrote my first short story. It took me 30 minutes. It was a dark little tale about a man who found a magic cup and learned that if he wept into the cup, his tears turned into pearls. But even though he'd always been poor, he was a happy man and rarely shed a tear. So he found ways to make himself sad so that his tears could make him rich. As the pearls piled up, so did his greed grow. The story ended with the man sitting on a mountain of pearls, knife in hand, weeping helplessly into the cup with his beloved wife's slain body in his arms. That evening, I climbed the stairs and walked into Baba's smoking room, in my hands the two sheets of paper on which I had scribbled the story. Baba and Rahim Khan were smoking pipes and sipping brandy when I came in. "What is it, Amir?" Baba said, reclining in the sofa and lacing his hands behind his head. Blue smoke swirled around his face. His glare made my throat feel dry. I cleared it and told him I'd written a story. Baba nodded and gave a thin smile that conveyed little more than feigned interest. "Well, that's very good, isn't it?" he said. Then nothing more. He just looked at me through the cloud of smoke. I probably stood there for under a minute, but to this day is one of the longest minutes of my life. Seconds plodded by, each separated from the next by an eternity. Air grew heavy, damp, almost solid. I was breathing bricks. Baba went on staring me down and didn't offer to read. As always, it was Rahim Khan who rescued me. He held out his hand and favored me with a smile that had nothing feigned about it. "May I have it, Amir John? I would very much like to read it." Baba hardly ever used the term of endearment, John, when he addressed me. Baba shrugged and stood up. He looked relieved, as if he too had been rescued by Rahim Khan. "Yes, give it to Kaka Rahim. I'm going upstairs to get ready." And with that, he left the room. Most days I worshipped Baba with an intensity approaching the religious. But right then, I wished I could open my veins and drain his cursed blood from my body. An hour later, as the evening sky dimmed, the two of them drove off in my father's car to attend a party. On his way out, Rahim Khan hunkered before me and handed me my story and another folded piece of paper. He flashed a smile and winked. "For you, read it later." Then he paused and added a single word that did more to encourage me to pursue writing than any compliment any editor has ever paid me. That word was bravo.